Hey there, welcome to this week's message from Real Life Ministries. We are so glad that you're here. We hope that this message will encourage and inspire you to walk closer with Jesus. Now sit back, relax, and let's dive into the Word together.
Let's get going. So do a quick review. We've been doing all these parables. This is our last parable message on doing parables. And the last 2 weeks before this have been lifestyle parables, how to live as a disciple of Jesus or a Christian. And we did salt and light, did that a couple weeks ago. And those of us that know Jesus and are growing in maturity and loving God and loving others and ourselves well, we do make a difference wherever we go. You are different, and it's a good thing. And you leave a mark where you go. I was just talking to a friend of mine today, and I was letting her know, because she's moved, but the fact is, I bring up her name to certain people, and they start crying. Not because they're sad, they just love her, and she has such an impact on people's lives. That's the life of Christ in her. And because she loves Jesus, she loves what Jesus loves, and that's people. So she is salt and light wherever she goes. It's the truth. And if you know her, you know what I'm talking about. Then, last week, Jim and Corey preached together, and they talked about the Good Samaritan. And you guys heard a story. Well, the Good Samaritan, what did he do? He had mercy on somebody who didn't even like him. Somebody who probably wouldn't even show him any mercy. And yet he did the very thing everybody else should have. Once again, that's the lifestyle of a disciple of Jesus, that's you and I, that we would grow towards doing the things that most people wouldn't normally do. Can you think of somebody right now in your mind that you just don't like? I can. It didn't even take me long. I got there real quick. Would I be merciful to that person? Will I go out of my way? I sure hope so. And those are things. That's having a biblical mindset and a lifestyle that is consistent with following Jesus. So this week, we're going to finish off with forgiveness. Forgiveness. Let me ask you guys a question. Who in here, and it's okay, because I'll raise my hand with you, finds it hard to forgive sometimes? What is the deal with that? Why is it so hard to forgive? Let me give you a definition of what the word forgiveness is, and maybe it's not as hard as you think, or maybe it's worse. To forgive is to let go, release, omit, not hold accountable. So if I forgive somebody, we'll call this Bob here, and I forgive Bob, I am not holding him account for the offense. I've released him from that. He's free to go. That's what forgiveness is. And that's what we're going to be talking about. And I talked to a gentleman who walked out the door last service. He came up and shook my hand, and he was real serious. He goes, you know, that's the problem with the church. Usually when I hear that, I'm like, oh boy. Everybody wants to tell me what the problem with the church is, like the armchair quarterbacks or something. But what he said was profound, and it was correct. He goes, if the church, just the church, would be forgivers of themselves and others, he said, there'd be a great awakening. And I think that's one of the biggest stumbling blocks for people in the church is the inability or unwillingness to forgive. There might be somebody in here right now that you need to forgive, or you need to ask forgiveness. Heck, they might be sitting right next to you. You might even have your arm around them. I don't know. That means that you're married to them, probably. Usually, that's where it starts. I mean, it starts from the inside out. And so, as a disciple of Jesus, I'm gonna remind you of our definition here at Real Life from Matthew 4:19. Jesus says, "Come, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." So, a disciple is one who's committed to following Jesus, one who's committed to being changed by Jesus, one who's committed to the mission of Jesus. So if I'm going to follow Jesus in obedience, I do certain things, like I get baptized. I forgive. Did Jesus forgive people? Say yes or no. Help me out, you guys. Okay, do you forgive people? Don't answer that. We're going to get into some of this, because if I'm a disciple of Jesus, I'm going to be a forgiver, and it's going to cost you. It's going to cost me, and it's hard. So let's break that down. So I want to tell a story. It's in Matthew chapter 18, but before I get to that, I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 22. I'm going to set the stage a little bit. And Pharisee come to Jesus and ask him, and you guys have heard this before, but you can't hear it enough. Ask Jesus what the greatest command was, and Jesus said this. He goes, the first and greatest command is this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your soul, with all your mind. They knew what that was. They'd heard that. That's in Deuteronomy chapter 6. So they're like, yep, got that. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All of the law, he's quoting Leviticus, all of the law and the prophets depend on these two commands. Loving God, loving others, loving yourself. That's where everything starts. You can behave, you can play nice, you can dress nice, you can go to church nice, you can do all the right things. If you don't have love, you're nothing. And so everything starts with love. So what does that have to do with forgiveness? I think they're interchangeable. They're synonymous with each other. I can't love you if I don't forgive you. So anybody that's been married for more than about 5 days will have opportunity to experience this and practice this. And I use that word on purpose, to practice forgiveness. It's like anything else that you're going to be good at. There are people who are paramedics, there are people who are musicians, there are people who are professional athletes, and they practice day in, day out, day in, and they practice what they'd call their craft. If you need brain surgery, I bet you hope your brain surgeon practices and knows his craft. If you have a little kid that's getting surgery, I bet you hope the doctor practices what they know. Well, as a disciple of Jesus, as we grow to maturity, we're going to practice these things. And one of the things we're going to practice is forgiveness. And so Jesus has a lot to say about forgiveness. And in Matthew chapter 18, he's having a conversation with Peter. You guys know the story. Peter goes, well, how often should I forgive? And what does Jesus say? 70 times 7. I don't know what the math is on that, but it's more than I'm probably willing to forgive. And Peter's like, what? You got to be kidding me. It doesn't say that. I'm paraphrasing. It doesn't make sense to continually forgive and forgive and forgive. And so then Jesus tells this story. And he says, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to. So he's telling a parable. We've talked about this. So here's another parable. This is what the kingdom of heaven can be compared to. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed, next, thank you, owed him 10,000 talents. We can debate on how much that is. That's more money than this guy will ever pay in a couple lifetimes. He owes a lot, 10,000 talents. And keep in mind, Jesus is trying to get a point across. So let's say it's $100 million. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had. So I'm going to sell you, I'm going to sell your wife and kids, and everything you got, I'm going to get paid back that way for payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, have patience with me, and I'll pay everything. And out of pity for him, the master of the servant released him and forgave him his debt. But next, when the same servant went out, so he gets forgiven, leaves wherever he was, goes outside, he's walking down the street. When he went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He was forgiven this much. This guy owed him about that much. And seizing him, he began to choke him. Pay what you owe me. So this fellow servant fell down and pleaded, have patience with me and I'll pay you. But he refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When the fellow servant saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed. Keep in mind, so some of his servants saw this, they're like, wait a second, that guy just got forgiven a ton and he's choking this other guy out because he owes him a little bit of money. They were distressed and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I've had mercy on you? And in his anger, delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also, I want you to hear this. This is sobering. This is Jesus talking. So also, my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. Well, let's get into this. Jesus tells another powerful story. I think when I spoke on this, spoke two weeks ago, Jesus always goes for the heart. Some people say for the jugular, but I would say for the heart. And here's what's brilliant about Jesus. He's economic with his words, and he cares, and he's telling this story. And you always need to, you need to hear this. Everything he tells us is because he cares about you, and he wants what's best for you. And at times, what's best for me doesn't seem like it, because it's painful. But Jesus always wants his best for you, because he loves you. So we define forgiveness. I'm gonna tell you a quick little story, and some of you know this, and it won't take long, but I surrendered my life to Christ when I was 19. And I will just tell you this much. I needed forgiven for a lot. And well, I don't know where everybody is in their life, but y'all have done something that you can't pay back. I can tell you that. It's not nothing that you and I can pay back. And I remember crying out to God that night. I was 19. It was May 22nd, about 2:30 a.m., Rushville, Nebraska, 1988, a few years ago. I told Jesus I'd follow him. I'd do whatever he said for the rest of my life. I didn't know what I was saying when I said it, but I was desperate. Kind of like the guy. Just have mercy on me. Forgive me my debt. He forgave me. The next morning, the sky was greener. I mean, the grass was greener. The sky was bluer. Things were good. And I would tell everybody about Jesus. And here's why I'm telling you this. I believe that most people forgive proportionate to how they receive forgiveness or have experienced forgiveness. I'll say it one more time. People forgive proportionate compared to how they've either accepted or received or experienced forgiveness. I believe some people or Christians out here really don't believe they're forgiven. That's why you decided this shoe fits. That's why you work so hard to be good. That's why you feel guilty when you don't read the Bible in the morning. Like you should have done something. It's like when you blow it, you try to do a little bit more for God so he'll be okay with you, or you try to appease him. It's all baloney. It is. It's a lie. I've lived about 20 years of my Christian life that way, so I know all about it. I'm an expert. When you're forgiven, it's not held against you anymore. There's nothing I can do or not do to make it different. I'm forgiven. It's not held against me. And Jesus cares very much about you being forgiven. And believe this, accounts will be settled. And the beautiful thing about what Jesus Christ did, so he's telling this story. So keep in mind, Jesus knows why he's on the earth. He's on the earth to eventually go to the cross. Why would he go to the cross? So that you have redemption or salvation from your sin, so you can be forgiven, so that you can be reconciled to the Father. It's a big mission, and he's doing it for you because that's how important forgiveness is to him, and accounts are going to be settled. He's going to settle your account if you will let him. I'm going to read this passage to you. It's in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. One of my favorite guys, the Apostle Paul, writes this. He says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace," or the forgiveness of our sins, or the forgiveness of your debts. Debts, trespasses, sins. Here's what I love about the word trespasses. If I trespass, I'm going where I don't belong. So I was telling the last service, I grew up in Western Nebraska. There's a lot of pheasant hunting there. And usually the pheasants are in somebody else's field. And there's a barbed wire fence that says, "No trespassing." So when I go over there and shoot pheasants and bring them back, I have been trespassing. I went where I wasn't supposed to go. So when you trespass, you go where you're not supposed to go. Whether that's mentally, physically, intentionally, or whatever. So God forgives us our trespasses. I want you to keep this in mind. As you practice in being a forgiver, there are people who trespass in your life that go where they should have never gone. And some of those places are terrible, and it's hurtful and painful. People trespass in my life and in your life. I have trespassed in people's lives. I need forgiveness. I needed forgiveness. And Jesus forgives our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, of his favor. Colossians 2, 13 and 14. I love how Paul, he's given us a reminder of where we came from. So just keep in mind, he's writing to the church when he says this. And you, that's you guys and me, and you who were dead in your trespasses, you who were dead in your sin, that's just where you are. You're stuck in your trespasses and sin. And the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all of our trespasses. Do you believe all your sins are forgiven? Just ask yourself that. Forgive us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. Account settled. Your debt has been paid. Who's got a house mortgage in here? I do. What would you think, what would you feel if Wednesday afternoon you get a phone call from the mortgage banker guy and just said, hey, just want to let you know, I don't know who this couple was, but they came in and they paid your mortgage. So thank you for having, if you need to borrow against your house again, I'd be glad to take it. But your debt is paid for. You don't owe anything on your house. Would you tell anybody about that? You'd be pretty stinking excited, huh? That'd be a relief. Okay, well, your trespasses have been paid for. The Lord Jesus, here's how it went. He took the penalty for your sin. He actually made payment for you with his blood. He took God's punishment and God's wrath. It says in Isaiah that God's wrath was satisfied. God satisfied his wrath in the Lord Jesus. So not bad enough that Jesus went to the cross. That was bad. He's on the cross. He's enduring God's wrath, his punishment. I have no idea what that's like. I don't think any of us can comprehend that. So that you and I can have this debt canceled and we can be reconciled to the Father. So I'm going to ask a little side question here. Those of you that do this, maybe you do or don't, again, if the shoe fits, then why in the world do you continue to hold on to your sin and punish yourself for stuff that long been taken care of? You guys know what I'm talking about, some of you? Account's taken care of. We need to believe that. There's a response. So this guy, he realizes he is in trouble. Can you imagine the king goes, okay, you owe me X, Y, and Z, and you're like, you're saying, I'll pay it all. There's no way you're paying it. You're blowing smoke. You know you're not gonna. Can't pay. He goes, so I'm gonna sell you, your wife, and your kids as slaves, and I'm gonna take your farm, and I'm gonna sell that, and whatever money I get, and you're out of my life. I'm done with you. In humility, I think there was some humility here. He gets on his knees. Nobody gets on their knees and begs apart from some humility or desperation. Please, I'll pay it back. He didn't say, forgive me. He said, I'll pay it back. The guy had mercy on him and forgave him. The response is humility. For the wages of sin are death, but the gift of God is eternal life. In Christ Jesus our Lord. So the wages of sin are death. How do you get your wages? You work for them. You work hard. And you get what's owed you. Well, guess what? The wages, you want to work? The wages of sin are death, but the gift of God is eternal life. How do you get a gift? You have to receive it. Who in here, when you go to dinner with a group of people, are the one that always grabs the bill and pays for it? Raise your hand. Who's the one? Oh, so you guys are all freeloaders? No. So if we all went out to dinner, is there usually an argument on who's going to pay the bill? Who likes to pay the bill? Okay, I'm going to dinner with you guys. But people like to pay their own bill. It takes humility to receive a gift. Do you always feel like maybe you owe somebody? Like if I get you something, now you feel like you got to get me something? Well, it's not a gift. A gift I give because I love you and I care about you. A person would receive that in humility and thankfulness. The gift of God is eternal life. It's a gift that you accept. You have to receive in humility. I want you to know that. So life change and thankfulness. So this is gonna kind of change because the guy that was forgiven much, there wasn't life change or thankfulness, was there? Do you see anywhere in the story where he goes, thank you for forgiving me everything? He doesn't say thank you. I'm not saying he didn't, but it doesn't show up in the story. He leaves. I don't think he was thankful because the first guy he sees is a guy that owes him a little bit of money. What's he do? He doesn't say, hey, can I get my money back? He starts choking him. what's going on inside somebody's heart that they're going to choke somebody out for a little bit of money? It's like me owing $100 million. I just got forgiven. A guy owes me $20, and I choke him out because he doesn't have my $20. Colossians 3, 2 through 13. Put on then. I want you to imagine doing this. Put on then as God's chosen ones. Here's what it means to put on. Wear these clothes. You're going to wear this stuff. This is the stuff that's going to be synonymous with you. This is what you're going to look like and be like. So you're going to put this on. You're putting on the life of Christ, because those of us that have surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ and are Christians, we have the life of Christ in us. Paul says that in Galatians 2. It's no longer me that lives, but it's life of Christ that lives in me. So we're going to put this on. We're going to put on, let's see here, I just lost my train of thought. Put on as God's chosen holy ones, holy and dearly loved, compassionate hearts. You're going to put on compassionate hearts. You're going to put on kindness and humility, meekness and patience, you're going to put up with each other, bearing with one another in love. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must forgive. That's what you're putting on, is humility, meekness, gentleness, kindness. It's all bound together in love, and you're going to forgive each other. So if somebody has a grievance against you, or you have a grievance, you're going to go to that person and ask forgiveness, or you're going to offer forgiveness. Mm-hmm. That's what you're putting on as a disciple of Jesus. So let's go back to our definition of disciple: one who's committed to following Jesus, one who's committing to being changed by Jesus, changes us into the things that we can't change ourselves in. We become more like him. Is Jesus forgiving? Is Jesus meek? That's what he's changing us into. That's what you begin to put on. Remember when I talked about practice? Can you think, just in your mind right now, can you think of an opportunity? Church is over, you're gonna go home, of opportunity where you could be humble. Can you guys think of one? I bet you can. I'm thinking of one right now. Can you think of an opportunity where you could be gentle? Anybody? Okay. How about forgiving? Can you think of somebody you could forgive? It'd be kind of hard. We're going to practice. This is what we do. You go home, practice that. Begin to do those things, because you're going to put those clothes on. That's what you, because you know why you're going to do this? Because you're chosen and dearly loved. And you're going to do this because Jesus says, because it's good for you. Jim Blaze and I were talking about this. And here's one thing I love a lot of things about Jim. Jim and I have had some similar experiences raising kids and making some similar mistakes and some heartbreaking things. And so we've had some similar heartbreaks. And one thing we're both talking about is forgiveness. And I believe that forgiveness is more for me than it is for the person I need to forgive. Jim Putman was talking about this when we were in sermon team. And he said, withholding forgiveness is like drinking my own poison. So I'm going to withhold forgiveness from one of you because I'm going to be angry and I'm just going to be bitter inside. I'm drinking my own poison. There is freedom in forgiving. We're going to talk a little bit more about that in a bit here. Know this. People are watching. People are watching us. Hebrews chapter 13. Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Really has nothing to do with forgiveness. I know that. But here's what I want to get across. You are being watched. Remember we talked about being salt and light? People will notice something different about you. Maybe at work you get gypped. You should have got the promotion. Somebody else got it. You're not being angry and bitter. You forgave the person who lied about you or whatever. That is salt and light. That looks different. And people notice that. And when I say you're being watched, it's not like some creepy thing, like you have stalkers. What I'm saying, I think the world is dying to see authenticity. And forgiveness isn't easy. It doesn't just, oh, hey, I forgive you. It's all good. It can be a process. And sometimes I have to forgive, then I forgive again, then I get ticked off and I forgive again, but we keep at it. So, responsibility as we go. There's a commitment. I'm going to spend a little bit of time here. So Jesus says this, Matthew 28, it's called the Great Commission. Some of you might have heard about it. And he says, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Well, I'm going to work backwards for a second. We're going to tell a backwards story. Jesus has raised from the dead. He's already conquered death. So he's talking to his disciple. This is just before he ascends and goes to heaven. He'd been on the cross, and before the cross, he had been before Pilate. Then he'd been before the Sanhedrin. He had been accused, he'd been beaten. And guess what? Even before that, he'd been in the garden praying, remember? Praying that God take this cup from him, but he gave up his will, not my will, but yours be done. So stay with me, that we're just going backwards. Jesus was also in the upper room, and he washed their feet. And even before that, they had supper together. And Jesus said, hey, my betrayer is in here. Jesus is doing all this knowing that he's going to be betrayed. And even before that, Judas had already made the arrangement before supper to betray Jesus. So Jesus knew he's going to get betrayed. He's betrayed in the garden by somebody who'd been with him for 3 years. So imagine investing three and a half years into somebody's life. You give them everything you have. Your time, your attention, your love, your experience. You include them in on all sorts of amazing stuff. You give them position and influence, and that person sells you out for some money so that you get arrested and you get executed. But before you go to your execution, you're still gonna love him. You're still gonna wash his feet. You're still gonna pray for him. That's what forgiveness is. And so when Jesus says, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me, it's the greatest statement anybody could ever, nobody else can say that. All authority, I mean all of it, on heaven and earth, not just here in Idaho, but everywhere, has been given to me. Therefore, because of that, go make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. And I'll be with you to the very end of the age. What did he command us that we're going to teach? I'm going to tell you two things real quick. He commanded some things, but here's a key one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. That's command. The second, love your neighbor as yourself. So love God, love others, love yourself. Oh, and here's a command. As I have loved you, so love one another. By this, the world will know you're my disciples because of your love for one another. So teach them to obey all I've commanded you. How are you, you guys are disciples, if you know Jesus, going to teach someone to love? You go down to the Bible bookstore and get some love books and do a Tuesday love study? Doesn't work, does it? You know what I'm talking about. I'm not knocking books. I'm not knocking studies. The only way I learned to love is to be loved by somebody else. Yeah. And the way I grew up, sad to say, I wasn't loved very well growing up. So I'm a survivor. I know how to stick and move, and I know how to get my way, and I know how to function and stay two or three steps ahead of you. Well, what does that? That's not love. I'm telling you, one of the hardest things next to loving someone is learning to be loved. I'm going to do a quick reminder what love is. Love is patient, kind. It's not rude. It's not easily angered. It's not resentful. It's not unforgiving, right? It always bears with it, hopes. That's what we're talking about when we say love. And we're to teach people that. And Jesus said, I'll be with you to the very end of the age. Well, how can I teach people to love if I'm not a forgiver? God's very serious about forgiveness. You guys know this passage, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. How about Matthew 18:35? So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. God cares so much about forgiveness that he gave his son away so he could be forgiven. I want to talk about forgiveness for a little bit now because it's hard. What he went through, what he did so he could be forgiven was ridiculously, indescribably painful, emotionally, spiritually, and physically. I do not want to minimize anybody's pain or experience. I'm going to say a few things. But there are things that have happened. I don't know everybody's story in here. I know some of your story. There are things that have happened to some of you that should have never happened, that are outside your control. And things have been taken from you. How do you forgive that? And some things have been taken from you, and the person or people that did those things, might be dead or long gone, how do you forgive them? They're not even around to forgive anymore. And maybe it was so bad that you have a hard time forgiving God, because how could God let that happen? Has anybody ever wondered that? Like, God, how could you let that happen? So I wondered that. So I remember a lot of things happen when I'm making coffee. I don't know what that is. But I was making coffee one morning, and I was just thinking about this is probably about 4 or 5 years ago. I was thinking of an experience when I was younger. And I wasn't mad, but I was going, Lord, where were you in that? I was like 9 years old. Like, where were you when that was going on? And, I really sensed God saying, I was right there. I was right there the whole time. I'm like, how could you be right there the whole time? Right there the whole time. And here's what I believe God said to me. He goes, I was there the whole time because I knew that you going through that would make you the man I needed you to be now. Because of some of the things that happened in my upbringing and how I grew up and the things I've experienced, I can be empathetic. I can speak to things. And I would not have those had those things not happened. So I want to put some perspective to this. One thing I walked away from, I'm a father too. What if some terrible things were to happen to one of my sons and I had the foresight to know I need to let that go ahead and happen, because 25 years from now, he's going to need that experience. As painful as it is to watch my boy endure that, he's going to need it for this future time. It'd be heartbreaking as a father or as a mother, wouldn't it? It was heartbreaking for God, the things that have happened to me. I know it is. I learned to forgive God, not that God did anything wrong, but to release him from my own unbelief and broken thinking. I've also learned to forgive those who've trespassed against me. There's things that have happened to me that should have never happened to anybody. There's things that have happened to some of you that should have never happened to anybody. But we're still obligated as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus, to forgive those things. And it isn't easy. And sometimes it does feel like it'll cost you your life. But I want to go back to that stuff that I've harbored and the resentment I've harbored. I'm just drinking my own poison. I can tell you this, I have a freedom now. I'm not trying to be arrogant. I'm just telling you the fact, I have a freedom now that I've never had before. I don't hold people in contempt or hold people in judgment. Now, I don't know, I might have opportunity later. I'm not saying I'm perfect. But those past things don't own me anymore. But I didn't do that by myself. I've had people in my life help walk me through this stuff and talk me through this stuff and cry me through this stuff and help me forgive and learn to forgive and release people. And some of the people I've released, they don't even know it. They'll never know because they're dead, or they just will never know because it won't do any good. But I've forgiven them, given it over. God is serious about forgiveness for a couple reasons, for them and for you. When you forgive, there is freedom. When you forgive, you are freeing yourself. I think one of the things that has kept me from forgiveness, and maybe you, and you see if this fits too, is fear, is pride, arrogance. What else? Hate being wrong. Yeah. It's vulnerable. Want to protect myself. All those things. And those are all the things that we're to let God have so you can be forgivers. Well, let's finish with this. God set us up to grow in forgiveness, to abide. You know, John 15, Jesus says, abide in me, I'll abide in you. Apart from me, you can do nothing. What that word abide means is to remain, to stay with, to continue, be sustained by Jesus. So we spend time with Jesus. Here's how Jesus has got us covered. Every angle. Even how to pray. So his disciples in Matthew 6, they want to know how to pray. And Jesus said, pray like this. Notice he didn't say, pray this prayer. He said, pray like this. He gives us a template, which requires all these things, humility, dependency, all those things. Our Father in heaven, you guys know this one. holy be your name, or hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, or forgive us our trespasses, like we've forgiven those who've trespassed against us. Deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. In a way, Jesus sets us up. And I mean this respectfully. Here's what he's saying. Father, forgive me my trespasses like I forgive those who've trespassed against me. In other words, will you forgive me like I forgive others? So here's my question to you. Do you want God to forgive you like you forgive others? Because that's what Jesus is saying. This is how you're going to pray. This is how you're going to pray. You and I need to spend time thinking and pondering this. And so not just leaving here, turn on the radio, go eat dinner, go water skiing, all that stuff's good. But to spend time and actually meditate and think about this and talk with other people about this, just this part of the Lord's Prayer. Do you want God to forgive you like you forgive others? Because that's how Jesus teaches us to pray. And then he makes this sobering statement. I don't want to get into once saved, always saved, any of this. All I know is he's saying, if you don't forgive others, then your heavenly Father's not going to forgive you your trespasses. God has done, he has gone to the extreme to give you an opportunity to be completely forgiven from your sin, from your trespasses. What makes me think I could withhold from anybody else? Even those terrible, 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 sad things. You know, Jesus says this. This is in Luke 24. He's already raised from the dead. He comes to his disciples and it says he opens their minds to the scriptures. And he says, this is what will be proclaimed starting in Jerusalem. Repentance and the forgiveness of sin. That's the message. That's the good news. Repentance, a heart change towards God, aligning with God. That's what repentance is. And forgiveness of sin. Do not forget that your sin is forgiven. It's easy to forget that, getting all self-centered and all wound up. Your sin is forgiven. That's why we spend time abiding and thinking about these things. We're going to pray. We do this every week. I love my church for this reason, because we care. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've not surrendered, made him the Lord of your life, today's the day. That's why you're here. I'm going to ask you to get up and go get prayer with one of these sides, or come up, I'll pray with you and accept Jesus so you can be part of the family and you can be forgiven of your sins and you can grow to be a forgiver and a disciple of Jesus. Don't be stubborn. Don't sit there and be stubborn. Next, if you're a Christian, you guys know where I'm going with this. I'll say this every time. And you're withholding forgiveness from somebody, you need to get up and get prayer and repent from that. And then go find that person and begin the process of forgiveness. It is a process at times. And let other people in on this so they can help you with it. If you know what I'm saying is true and you need to do it, you're going to sit there and be stubborn. God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. It sounds funny, but I'm not even kidding. He gives you the Heisman. He opposes the proud, but he gives grace and favor to the one that's humble. God, I need help. Remember, Lord, forgive me a sinner. Those of you that are in the process of forgiving and being forgiven and are on that path and are doing what you need to do, I want you to be encouraged and stay the course. But if you need help, get help. And trust me, I've needed help recently on some of these things. It's not easy. That's why we don't do it by ourselves. Lord Jesus, we love you. Your word promises us that you give us everything we need for life and godliness. Lord Jesus, you promised to be with us to the very end of the age. Jesus, you have modeled what forgiveness looks like, and you've equipped and enabled us to forgive and be forgiven. Father, give us courage to get help where we need help, to to surrender where we need to surrender, and to love each other as you've asked us to. In Jesus' name, amen.
We want to thank you for spending part of your day with us. Our mission at Real Life is to reach the world for Jesus one person at a time. If you'd like more info on the ministry or a giving opportunity, be sure to download the RLM app or visit us online at reallifeministries.com.